Boy, they have kept me busy. All right, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel 27. So this is going to be really good today. I mean, we're giving you, okay, so God's word is good for four things. It's good for doctrine. That's for what's right. The Bible will tell you what's right. Then it's good for reproof. The Bible will tell you what you're doing wrong. Then it's good for correction. The Bible will help you get it right. But listen to this last one. The Bible is profitable for instruction in righteousness. The Word of God will tell you how to live. And I'm going to deal with an area today that the Bible is very clear. I'm going to give you a formula today that's going to help you the rest of your life. I really do mean this. I prayed this morning. Lord, I pray that they'll forget who gave it to them, but I pray that they will never forget what they're going to get today in the formula. It is extremely practical, and it's going to help in an area that we all need help in, especially Generation Z. Look at the person next to you and say, you are Generation Z. We have no idea what that is. Nobody knows what that is, but that's what you are, all right? And I do know that this is an area that you guys really struggle in. The area, now the very end of it is depression. But if we go up that scale, the step before depression is discouragement. You guys been dealing with some of that? And the step before that is doubt. But it is the step before that that we're going to deal with today. And that step is called disappointment. How do you handle the disappointments in your life? Because I'm going to tell you right now, where you're going to end up in life will be completely dependent on how you handle your disappointments. Now, let me tell you what a disappointment is. All right, I'm big on definitions. This is like the simplest little teeny definition that you'll find, but it's great. Disappointment. Unfulfilled expectation. What is a disappointment? A disappointment is an unfulfilled expectation. You cannot live on planet Earth. How many of you live on planet Earth? Okay, you don't live on planet Earth, sir? Oh, okay, well, then you would have your hand up. I was writing down. Oh, you're writing it down. Okay, well, that's good. Okay. How many of you live on planet Earth? See, I was a little disappointed there for a moment, okay? But if you live on planet Earth, you will have unfulfilled expectations. I'm just telling you right now. In fact, there's this guy. He had everything. He went after luxury. Man, he got it. He went after liquor. He could have all he wanted. He went after learning. Man, he just tried every kind of learning. He learned and learned and learned. He could get it. Labor. Man, he labored. He built everything. Ladies. Whoa. He went after ladies. Oh, did he go after ladies. And you know what? He found, after looking at liquor, going after luxury, going after learning, going after labor, it was all empty. It was all vain. It was just like, man, I am so disappointed with everything under the sun. Everything under the sun. That means on planet Earth, folks. Everything under the sun has been so unfulfilling. It has disappointed me everywhere. Guys, I'm telling you right now. And by the way, now listen to this one. You're going to be really surprised on this one, Ethan. I'm telling you. You will even be, in your life, disappointed with God. Oh, yes, you will. He will do things in your life that will be unfulfilled expectation. God is not disappointing. Well, let me just tell you this. You will be, sometime during your life, disappointed with God. It wouldn't surprise me that some of you young people today are not living for God because you've been disappointed with Him. Oh, yeah. Let me just give you an example. There's this guy named John the Baptist. Yeah, John the Baptist, who Jesus said, there is no greater that has been born of woman than John the Baptist, okay? So if we're talking about godly people, we're talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist is sitting in prison. What was John the Baptist's ministry? To prepare the way for the Yeshua HaMashiach, to prepare the way for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, okay? So that he baptizes Jesus, all right? He's in prison, and he tells some of his disciples, go and check this guy out and see if he really is the Messiah. Whoa, 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 whoa. John the Baptist! How can John the Baptist be, you're the one who baptized him. He must increase and I must decrease. What's going on? John the Baptist was disappointed with Jesus. I wasn't expecting to be in prison. This isn't what I was expecting to happen. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. You are not going to live on this planet and not go through disappointment and not go through unfulfilled expectations. I'm going to tell you, young person, and I don't care, man, I'll tell you right now, if you're 12, you're 13 years old in here right now, this is absolutely the greatest time in the world to hear what you're going to hear today. But I guarantee you this, if you're 16, 17, or 18, you've probably been struggling with this, and maybe one of the greatest reasons why you're not who you're supposed to be in your teen years is because your Christian life has not been what you expected it to be. Now, so we just talked about John the Baptist. Who is the man after God's own heart? Who is that? David, I want to talk to you about David. Because David goes through depression. David has had one unfulfilled expectation after another. And he got discouraged. He started to doubt God. He got discouraged. And then he became depressed. And I'm going to even show you where I think David was in despair. And David had a huge moment in his life where he could have committed suicide. And he was so depressed, he could have taken his life, but he does something. He takes three steps. And I'm going to give you what these three steps are. He takes three steps that gets him out of depression. And I'm telling you, it will change anyone's life. So, did I tell you to go to 1 Samuel 27? Okay, I'll tell you what, jump over to 1 Samuel 30, because I just want to read our text, and then we're coming back to 1 Samuel 27 in just a second. I'm just going to read one verse, and then we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get started on how to have victory over disappointments. How to be an overcomer. You know, the Bible says we're supposed to be overcomers. I'm going to show you how to overcome disappointments in your life. You're going to have disappointments. Disappointments are not sins. Everyone together. Disappointments are not what? Sin. It's not a sin to be disappointed. But if you do not handle the disappointment right, it is. Doubt can be a sin. Discouragement can be a sin. Yes, yes, yes. Well, we all get discouraged. Not supposed to. We will all experience disappointment, but we do not have to experience doubt, discouragement, or depression. And I'm going to show you how to do that. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 30. We'll read one verse, have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Here we go. And David, verse number 6. And David was greatly, everyone together, what's the next word? Distressed. I mean, he was stressed out, anxiety, depression, you name it. And when the Bible uses a hyperbole, you know it's a big deal. And David was greatly distressed. I believe, I'll prove it to you in a minute, I believe this is the lowest part and point of David's entire life on earth. Even the Absalom dying does not compare to what this is, and I'll show you in a minute. And David was greatly distressed for the people. Wait till you find out who the people are. These are the guys he trained, invested in, loved, took in. Whew. For the people spake of stoning him. The people, talk about unfulfilled expectations. These are the people he took in. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was, everyone together, what's the next word? Grieved. Hebrew word. Are you ready? Hebrew word right there for grieved. Mara. Mara. Anyone know what mara, Hebrew word of mara means? Anyone know? Mara. We got a few pastors here. Anyone know? Mara. Okay, what is it, Brother Nathan? Bitter. The word grieved is the word mara, bitter. Bitter means unresolved violation of your justice system. This is not what I expected. This is wrong. This is not right. Man, are they disappointed. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him because the soul of the people was, everyone together, what's the Hebrew word? Was what? Mara. What does mara mean? Bitter. They were grieved. Man, they were full of bitterness. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. Dun, 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 dun. But David, everyone together, finish the verse. But David what? Encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Whoa. There is a three-step process that occurs at Ziklag. That three-step process is the way to overcome disappointment in your life. I don't care what has happened in your life. You may not have a parent. There may have been some big time stuff. And by the way, every one of us have a story. And you know what a huge part of every one of our stories is? Disappointments. Every one of us could stand, talk about unfulfilled expectations in our life. Everyone. It is not the disappointments that determine what happens in our life. It's the way we handle them. And David does something at Ziklag that changes his entire life. Would you pray with me? As I pray out loud, would you pray, God, show me how to handle disappointments and give me the grace to start applying what I hear. Guys, we have wasted our time if you are just going to be a hearer of the word. Ask God, Lord, I want to do what I hear today. I'm going to tell you, it's going to change your life. Father, I am thankful for the practicality of the Word of God. I am thankful for the truth of the Word of God, and I am thankful for the transformation from the Word of God. I pray that these young people will never again handle the disappointments of their life the same way, that after today, they have learned how they are to take the unfulfilled expectations of their life and how they're supposed to handle it. I am so thankful that your word is so practical. Now, God, I can run around, jump around. I can be so excited about these truths, and I think I am. But, God, I cannot do anything to change these young people. So I pray in a total helplessness, would you do what I can? You love them way more than I do, Father. You want them to get this way more than I do. So I believe by faith that these young people are going to receive the word well. And I ask this in Jesus' name for Jesus' glory. And God's children said, amen. I'm speaking at a camp several years ago. And the week before, I had to go see my doctor. It was a woman, Dr. Singla. And she said, hey, Jim, I think I'm going to have to put you on blood pressure medicine. Imagine that. I think I'm going to put you on blood pressure medicine. Your blood pressure is pretty high. But she said, you know, before I prescribe that, I'd like to monitor your blood pressure. Maybe you get high blood pressure when you come into the doctors. Maybe that's your problem. I go, I think it is. So she said, this coming week, could you come into the doctors every day and we'll check your blood pressure? And I said, I can't. I said, I'm speaking at a camp in the East. I was in California. I'm speaking at a camp in the East, and I can't. But I said, I know this camp. It's a pretty good-sized camp. They have a clinic, and they always have a registered nurse every summer. And I said, I think, and I didn't even know her. I said, I think she'll take my blood pressure every day. And she said, okay, as long as you monitor your blood pressure. I said, okay. She said, actually, I'd like to have you take it twice a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. I said, okay. So sure enough, I go to the camp, and I went to the clinic, and the nurse in the clinic says, oh, Brother Shetler, I'll be glad to do that. So every morning I come in, get my blood pressure check, and then every afternoon. I don't remember which day it is. I'm going to say it was Wednesday. It might have been Thursday. But somewhere a little bit later in the week, I came in the afternoon, and she was real busy. So she was doing stuff. So I came in the clinic and I sat up on the counter. You know, I just waited for her, you know. She said, I'll be right with you, Brother Shetler. So she was putting some stuff away or whatever. And in putting stuff away, she opened the cabinet. And when she opened the cabinet, I went, whoa, there were shelves. And the shelves were full of pill bottles. And I said, hey, what's that? She said, oh, those are the camper's medications. Oh, a lot of allergies? She giggled. She said, no. She said, Brother Shetler, do you want to know what the majority of those pill bottles are? I said, yeah. She said, the majority of those pill bottles are antidepressants. I said, oh, wait. I'm at a Baptist camp. We got 400 teenagers at this Baptist camp. And I am telling you, if there's 60 pill bottles up there, she says the majority of those are medications for depression. I said, there ain't no way. You're telling me that what do you got, 30, 40 teenagers at this camp are on antidepressants? I said, there's something wrong with that. The young person, you hear this. The greatest need in our culture today is not a pill. The greatest need we have is a person. And until you understand that, now that makes a great little cliche statement. I'm going to tell you exactly what that means in a minute. Now I want to talk to you about something. I've got to put a little disclaimer on this message. I am not against medication. And I absolutely believe there is such a thing as clinical depression. Everyone say that term.
Clinical depression.
Okay, first of all, it's not a Bible term. But I do believe that there are situations that some people have been born with. Now wait, that is probably a major mental handicap. Or they were in some kind of accident that there was major trauma to their head, that now they are clinically depressed. Now, well, I'll tell you this right now, young people. What they call clinical depression today, I say over 90% of what they're calling clinical depression is a spiritual problem. It has nothing to do. Now, here's the deal, though. No, Brother Shetler, they definitely have a chemical imbalance in their brain. There is chemicals that are not working in their brain, therefore they're clinically depressed. Everyone looked this way, and I said, well, Brother Shetler, I don't think I was planning on coming for something. You need to hear this, okay? You need to get this. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? Okay, here's what I mean by that. I absolutely believe that people that are living in depression have a chemical imbalance. There are different enzymes, there are different chemicals that are not being produced, and therefore they're depressed. But what caused that? Was that a malfunction of the body? Or was that because they didn't handle their disappointments right, and they lived in the constant state of not handling an unfulfilled expectation, and it therefore has affected their body? Let me tell you something. If you don't deal with what I'm dealing with today, it will absolutely have a physical response. But what came first? Well, you see, they have a physical problem and they're clinically depressed. That's why they live the way that they live. No. In the majority of cases, it is because they didn't deal with their spiritual problem and now they got physical problems. I'm going to tell you what, we got a generation of young people today that are living in depression. And yeah, they got chemical imbalance today because they didn't learn how to handle their disappointments in their life. So you cannot leave this message and say, Brother Shetler doesn't believe in clinical depression. Yes, I do. Brother Shetler doesn't believe in medication. Yes, I do. But I am telling you that the majority of these cases is because you didn't deal with things properly spiritually. Now, I know what I'm giving you guys right now. You go, hey, we're just teenagers. Yeah, and you need to learn how to handle unfulfilled expectation at 15. Because if you don't learn how to handle unfulfilled expectation at 15, at 25, you are screwed up and you're on medication because you haven't learned how to deal with the disappointments of your life. So I want to help you today. So let's look at David. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 27. 1 Samuel 27. All right, so David comes on the scene in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And he comes on the scene as the musician for Saul. He's got an incredible testimony. He's got great character. And I'm just telling you right now, we're talking about a young man who loves God. This guy is the baby of the family, but he has a heart for God. And I believe he had that heart for God all of his life. And I think he loves the Lord. He wants to serve God. Taking care of his father's sheep is no problem with him. And by the way, come on, guys. How cool is this? Okay? If I'm taking care of my father's sheep, my dad's sheep, everybody together, whose sheep are they? Father's, dad's. Okay, if I'm taking care of my father's sheep and a lion comes, okay, I'm taking care of my whose sheep? Father's sheep. And a lion comes. I go back to my dad at the end of the day and I say this. Hey, Dad, we lost one today. Lion came and took one of those little lambs and took it away and killed it. Okay, that's what I'm saying, all right? I'm just telling you. I'll tell you what I'm not doing with whose sheep? Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm not doing with my dad's sheep is going out and killing the lion. Yeah, I'm not fooling around with the lion. We just lost a sheep today. But not David. I mean, this is as cool as it gets, guys. Hey, you lion. You're taking one of my dad's sheep. He goes out there and kills the lion. Who does that? Okay, I just want to tell you right now, if a bear comes and gets in the flock of whose sheep, okay, we lost another one. Okay, I'm just telling you right now. I'm going home, Dad. We had a bear come today, and the bear took another one of the sheep. Dad, I don't know what to do here. No, I tell you what I don't do if a bear comes. Is save the life of a stupid little sheep. I'm sorry, but it ain't happening. Especially whose sheep are they? Dad's sheep. But you know who's watching this? God is. And God is saying, you know what? If you go after your dad's little sheep, when a lion comes and when a bear comes, then I got to tell you something. You can be the king of my people. And I'm telling you right now, young person, you are in a job interview right now on how God's going to use you down the road. And what a faithful guy. I mean, we're talking about this guy's got it, man. This guy's got the character. He's got the life. He's got a heart for God. This guy's got it. So therefore, good things happen to guys like this. Yeah, no. So then he goes and fights this guy, 9'6". He's called what? What's his name? Goliath. And he has no problem taking on Goliath. And I'm going to tell you why. He said, it ain't going to be me. The God that delivered me from the lion and the God that delivered me from the bear, he's got this Goliath thing, man. And sure enough, he does. I mean, David is the guy, guys. This guy loves God. He's doing it. Then he develops this friendship with Jonathan. And man, they put this covenant together. This is a great guy. And I'll tell you, from that moment, everything that happens to David is one unfulfilled expectation after another. He's in there playing music for the king. And the king stinking picks up a javelin and throws it at him. You don't like, I'll change the song if you want. You want me to a different song, you know? You want me to sing something different? Saul becomes jealous. And David becomes a fugitive. What did he do wrong, Brother Scheller? Why is he a fugitive? He didn't do anything wrong. He did everything right. Do you think that's what he expected? No. And we begin a channel, and we begin a path of one unfulfilled expectation after another. He has two opportunities to kill the guy who's trying to kill him. He's got two chances that he could kill Saul. Guys, this is unbelievable. I've been to Engedi. Engedi is where David hid from Saul. There's all kinds of caves down there. I've been up in Engedi before. It is absolutely beautiful in Israel. And I've been way, way up in those caves. David's men are in a cave. Guess who goes to the bathroom in that cave? Guys, I'm telling you. Saul goes in to relieve himself. He's in the cave with David. David's men are there. They got to be giggling. They got to be laughing. They go, God, David, I don't know how God blesses you, David, but God just blessed you. Your guy who's trying to kill you is in the cave. We got him. David doesn't touch him. He goes one night. He's got a chance to kill Saul. He doesn't do it. And every time he says, Saul, King Saul, all I want to do is be your servant. And King Saul is raging with jealousy. It is one unfulfilled expectation after another, and he wants him killed. Now, look at, this is right after one of those times. Look at 1 Samuel 27 and look at verse number 1, because something major now is happening in David's heart. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape unto the land of the, everyone together, to the land of the, who are the Philistines? They are the what? They are the enemy. They are the enemy. David, what's the deal? Now you hear me. By the way, the Philistines are a picture of the world, and you hear what I'm going to tell you right now, because right now you're at Lighthouse Baptist Church on a Saturday morning at a youth rally. Oh, that is as cool as it gets. Let me tell you this. You don't learn how to handle your unfulfilled expectations right. You get out of high school, you are gone from the faith. You are in the world. And you never want to see an independent Baptist church again. It had nothing to do with that Baptist church, but I'll tell you what it had everything to do with. You had unfulfilled expectations in your life. You had one disappointment after another and said, I am so done with the fundamental movement. I am so done with being a Baptist. I am so done with that religion crud. I am so done with that. I'm going to the world. That is what happens with David. If you do not learn how to handle your disappointments right, you're going to the Philistines, man. You're going to join with the Philistines. He is so discouraged, guys. I believe David in chapter 27, verse 1, is an indicator that he is living in depression. And he says, you know what? I might as well join the Philistines. David, you kill Philistines. They've been your mortal enemy. Now you're there. You grew up all your life in a good home, in a good Christian home, but you've been disappointed. You've been disappointed with your parents. Oh, come on. You've seen stuff at home and go like, well, if that's Christianity, that is not the marriage I want. That is not the life I want. You guys have been disappointed in areas of your life. You got to learn how to handle it. David ain't doing real good here. He joins with the Philistines and a king named Achish. So one day, Achish comes to David and says, hey, David, my men and I are going to the north, and we're going to join with five other Philistine kings, and we're going to go fight your Israelites. They're not my Israelites. No, David, we're going to go fight your people. And so I need you to stay here and kind of take care of all of our stuff and take care of your home at Ziklag. We're going to be gone for a while. We're going to go fight the Israelites. And David says, I'm going with you. David, we're going to fight your people. They're not my people. I'm with you. Okay. You'll fight with us. I give you my word, and every time I've ever given my word, you know I've come through. Okay, David, let's go. They march 3 days. This is going to be important because I'll tell you a big problem with depression is fatigue. They march 3 days all the way to the north. And when they get to the north, all of the Philistines are there. And one of the kings go, hey, who is that? He's with Achish, but he does look familiar, doesn't he? Who is that? Achish, come here. Yeah, we're looking forward to fighting tomorrow. Hey, who's that? Oh, you know him. It's David. Remember, he killed our giant, Goliath. What is he doing here? Oh, he's on our side now. Yeah, no, he's not. Oh, no, he is. No, he's now, yeah, Saul, that king, the guy we're fighting tomorrow, he went after him. He's on our side now. No, he's not. David is not going to fight with us. No. David's on. No, he's not. You tell him to go back. You tell him to go back. We just marched 3 days after. We just going 65 miles to the north from Beersheba all the way to Dan. You tell him, buddy. I ain't telling them. No, no, you tell them to get out of here. Whoa. So Achish goes to David. Hey, David. Yes, sir, we're ready to fight tomorrow. Yeah, I got to tell you something. It ain't going to happen. What do you mean it's not going to happen? It ain't going to happen, David. David, you need to go back. No. I told David, it isn't happening. They're not going to fight with you. They're going to, they believe you're going to turn. I told you. I know. I'm sorry you're, come on, help me out. I'm sorry you're disappointed. I know this wasn't what you were expecting, but you got to go back. God, what in the world is with you? They go back. They march back 3 days. Guys, they've been marching now for 6 of 7 days. They've gone 130 miles. They're all wiped out. They're all just totally weary. They're totally fatigued. And you better make sure you take care of your body. Because if you don't take care of your body, it will lead to depression. You do need to know how to take. But these guys are just worn out. And as they start coming back, they see smoke in the horizon. David, yeah, I see it. I see it. Oh, God. Ziklag, their home, is being burned with fire. While they were gone, they know who came in. The Amalekites. By the way, this is so cool. Philistines, picture of the world. Amalekites, picture of your flesh. You get out of the world, then the flesh takes over. I'm telling you guys, you got to learn how to handle stuff. The Amalekites come in. Now, listen to me, because this isn't going to make sense. So you got to hear. You got to listen. Look at the person next to you and say, hey, you better listen. Y'all with me? Okay, now listen to this. They're hoping that when they get back to Ziklag, they will find their women and children burned to death. What? Yeah, because if their women and children are not burned to death, the Amalekites took them. And what the Amalekites will do to their women and to their children is worse than them dying in the fire. So when they get back, now they know what's happened. They know why they were gone. The Amalekites came. They know it. And now when they get back, they want to see their charred bodies of their children and wives. Because if they don't, this is even worse than Amalekites take them. Let's pick it up, chapter 30, verse number 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day. See, they went up 3 days. Now they're back 3 days. The Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Get this, guys. And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Guys, they are disappointed. They have a huge unfulfilled expectation. Oh, man! Oh, I believe this is the lowest part of David's entire life on earth. I think he is so full of unfulfilled expectation. Look at verse 3. So David and his men came to the city. Look at verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. Now, I got to tell you, I've seen a lot of men cry, but in 43 years of ministry, I've only seen about 3 men ever weep. And usually it's been 2 of them were at a casket. One was in my office where they just broke down. I've seen a lot of men cry. I cry. But I got to tell you what, these guys wept. I mean, they just lost it, guys. They are so exhausted. They are so disappointed. They are in despair, and they are ready to die until they had no more power to weep. And David's 2 wives are taken, and then look at verse 6. So what does David do? Guys, this is the coolest thing in the world. And David was greatly, everyone together. Oh, that was terrible. Everyone together, and David was greatly. I think this is it, man. This is total despair now. He has gone from disappointment to doubt to discouragement to depression to despair. What is all that? Well, I'll tell you what. When you're at this point, you have no hope whatsoever. You can live without food for about 40 days. You can live without water for about 3 days. You can live without air for about 2 minutes, but you can't live without hope 5 seconds. You gotta have hope, man. If you lose your hope, you lose everything. You gotta believe. You gotta have hope. And David has totally lost hope. It's all gone now, guys. There's nothing there, but look what he does. Now look at this, verse number 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Step number one, if you're taking notes, and I'd put this in the back of your Bible. Step number one, focus on God. When you come to an unfulfilled expectation, stop doubting God and start focusing on who God is. Brother Sheldon, I'm not sure I understand what this means. I know that the average 15-year-old has no clue what I just said, so let's talk about it. What do I mean by focus on God? I mean, you start thinking about God's attributes. I'm not just saying this because they're here. I'm telling you, a major part of this focus on God is the music that you listen to at this point. You get your heart and head and ears out of the worldly music, and you get some good music. You start singing hymns. You start focusing on music. And you know what? A lot of our music today has to do with us. You start focusing on music that has to do with the attributes of God. And you start thinking, you know, I heard this thing called sovereignty. What is the sovereignty of God? What does it mean? And you find out, what does it mean that God controls everything that is his? What does that mean? Is there free will with this sovereignty? Do we do anything, or focus on the sovereignty of God? Focus on the wisdom of God. God, you're wise. Now listen to this one. I'll tell you one that's really helped me recently. The omniscience of God. So I didn't know this until I went to West Coast. I'd never heard this before. Omniscience of God, that means that God knows everything, okay? God knows whatever he wills to know. Well, I knew that he knows the future, and I knew that he knew the past, and obviously he knows the present. But what I had never heard before, guys, this helped me. God doesn't only know what has happened, and he knows what will happen, and he knows what's going to happen. Everyone hear this. God knows what could have happened. Okay, I'd never heard that before in my life. That the omniscience of God, he doesn't even know, he knows what has happened. He knows what is happening. He knows what will happen. He even knows what could have happened. If I would have made this choice in my life, God knows where that would have led. God knows everything. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know what, God? Right now, I am so disappointed. But you know everything, God. You know what could have happened. You know what would happen. You know what will happen. You know everything, God. Center on his omniscience, his omnipresence. God, you are with me. Center on his love. God, I know you care. Center on his righteousness. God, you can't do what's wrong. And I don't understand right now. And I'm disappointed right now. But God, you are blank. He says, I am that I am, Jehovah God. I am whatever you need me to be. When you get disappointment, when you get an unfulfilled expectation, everybody help me out. Focus on who? Everyone. Okay, so step number one, I want you to say the whole step. When you have an unfulfilled expectation in your life and your disappointment, everyone together, what do you got to do? Step number one, you got to what?
Focus on God.
Okay, I got to tell you a quick story. I got to tell you, it's not really that quick, but I got to tell you this story. So when my boys were little, this I think was before Drew was born, I've always believed this, that the boys need to go shopping for gifts for their parents. So I would always take them out shopping for their mom at Christmas time. But I just have one problem. I do not wrap gifts, okay? I do not wrap gifts. I mean, you give me a present and I try to wrap it, it looks terrible. Okay, so I learned something. There was a department store, it doesn't even exist anymore. It's called Gayfers. Gayfers did customer service, they wrapped the presents. And I go, okay, so boys, we're buying all mom's presents at Gayfers because Gayfers will wrap the presents, okay? So every year, you know, I take the boys out. So one year, I think Ben is probably 10, maybe not. Yeah, I think he's 10. And then Luke would be 7. And I don't know, Drew was a little babe, so I don't know where he is. But anyways, so I take Ben and Luke, and we go to Gayfers. So the very first thing we do when we go to Gayfers, we go up the escalator, we go to customer service, and I pull one of the little numbers. Okay, so I look at the number, 86. Got the number right here, 86. Okay, they're on number 14. Guys, we got about 2 hours. Let's go. So we go, so we start going shopping. I'm looking at my watch, and we find something for mom, you know, and Luke gets something, and Ben gets something, and I'm looking at my watch. I say, hey, guys, I think we better get back up. We better get going. And I grab Luke's hand, and I grab Ben's hand. And when I grab Ben's hand, he goes, Dad, what? Come on, let's go. Dad, what? Come on, there's tons of people in here. Come on, let's go. Dad, I'm not holding your hand. Ben, you're holding my hand. I'm not going to lose you now. Dad, I'm 10 years old, Dad. I'm not holding your hand. Ben, you're holding. Dad, okay. You keep your eyes on me, buddy. You keep your eyes on me. Yeah, Dad, yeah. I said, let's go. So we start going, and I got Luke, and we go, and we get up the escalator, and we go to customer service, and we go to get the customer service. I look up. Number 84. Number 84, I go, Luke, look, I got number 86. Look at that, number 84. We did really good. Hey, Ben, look at that. Number Ben, Luke, where's Ben? I don't know. Ben, oh my, Ben's gone. I don't know where Ben is. Number 85, I'm going, number 85, I'm next. I've waited 2 hours. I'm going like, my son, the presents. We stayed. No. I'm going, this is crazy. I can't believe this. Oh, no. Number 85, I'm next. Where is Ben? Ah, come on, Luke, we got to go find Ben. I come out. We're looking for Ben. I can't find Ben. We're out there about a minute, 2 minutes. No lie. My son will verify this. No lie. Speaker comes on. Jim Shetler, come to Ladies Lingerie and pick up your son. Jim Shetler. Guys, there is 1,000 people in this store. I hadn't seen one member of the campus church until the speaker came on. And I go, Ladies Lingerie? What in the world? And I'm taking Luke, and I'm walking the ladies, and all of a sudden I start seeing everybody. Hey, Pastor Shetler, Ben's, I know where he is. Hey, Pastor Shetler. Yeah, I know. We get over to Ladies Lingerie, and there is Ben standing next to the counter. I come over, and I said, what in the world, bub? What in the world are you doing, Dad? I don't know. I said, keep your eyes on me. I said, what happened? Well, Dad, when we got to the escalator, I started looking at stuff, and I got off, and I lost you. I said, I told you to keep your eyes on me. I know, Dad. I got my eyes off you for just a minute, and I ended up here. Moral of the story, you get your eyes off God, you end up in the ladies' lingerie department, okay? Guys, you hear this. You focus on who God is. I'm going to tell you this, gang. I mean this. You get an unfulfilled expectation, and it may not be the biggest thing in the world. It may be that girl's going to drop you. It may be that you got a grade on your paper that you said, you know what, I just want to give up with the class. No! You focus on God. You remember who God is, and you start. That's why you got to learn who God is. You got to learn about his attributes, and you got to get some verses that bring him. What did he do? He encouraged himself, and the Lord is God. Okay, this gets really cool. Look at verse 7. And so number one, everyone together, number one is what? What do you got to do?
Focus on God.
That wasn't good enough. Number one, you got to do what?
Focus on God.
Number two. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Elimelech's son, hey, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he, God, answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Okay. Step number one, focus on God. Step number two, put your faith back in God's word. Put your faith back in God's word. What is this whole thing with Abiathar and the ephod and everything? Well, guys, he doesn't have the Bible, okay? But he's got to get a word from God. And I'm going to tell you something. When you go through a disappointment in your life, when you go through an unfulfilled expectation in your life, I'm going to tell you what you got to get. You got to get the word of God. You got to get to the Bible, and you got to find a verse to get you through. I'll tell you what my life verse is. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, Isaiah 41:10. That is my life verse. I don't have time to tell you how God gave me that verse, but I needed a Bible verse in my life when I was a senior in high school, big time. And God gave me Isaiah 41:10. Every major thing that has ever happened in my life, God has given me a scripture passage to hold on to or to give me guidance and direction. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, when you have an unfulfilled expectation in your life, number one, you do what? Focus on God. Number two, you put your faith back in God's word. You put your focus on who God is, and you put your faith back in God's word. Okay, last thing we're done. Look at verse 9. So, David, everyone together, what's the next word?
Went.
And he pursued. Oh, by the way, look at the end of verse 8. Pursue, for then shalt thou surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So here's the word. Go get him, David. Get up. Get going. Go get him. And what does he do in verse 9? So David went. So here it is. Here it is, guys. Brother Shetler, how do you handle disappointments in your life? I'm going to tell you this. Now listen to me, guys. You guys don't know me that much. You see me real positive, real energetic. I deal with disappointments. And I'm telling you something, guys. You're looking at somebody that goes deep in valleys. Oh, yes, you are. You're looking at somebody that goes down, but I have learned something. I am not going to start doubting God, and I'm not going to start getting discouraged. I definitely deal with disappointments in my life, but this is exactly what I do in my life. I got to begin to focus on who God is. You know what? I'm going to listen to music. I'm going to just look at who God is. I'm going to focus on God. And then number two, I'm going to do what? Everyone together, I'm going to put my faith back in God's word. Then listen to number three. And then you put your foot back on God's path. You put your foot back in God's path. You get up and you get going again. You don't quit. Now, I was going to tell you something. You are not looking at much up here. Guys, I struggle with so many things in my life. If I told you, you would go like, whoa, he really does. I mean, you, Brother Shelley, you seem so positive. Guys, I struggle with disappointments, but I have learned a three-step biblical formula that has served me well. When Jim Shetler gets disappointed, I focus on who God is. I put my faith back in God's word, and everyone together, I do what? I put my foot back on. Okay, that was terrible. I put my foot back on. I get up, and I get going again. Guys, don't stop. Don't give up. And I'm going to tell you, you guys got so many cool things as Generation Zs, but I'm telling you something. You don't do good with adversity. You get a little adversity and you quit. Guys, you got to focus back on God. You got to put your faith back in God's word. And you got to put your foot back on God's path and said, you know what? I'm getting up and I'm going forward again. And I'm going to tell you, when you get up and go, he did. He does. They caught up to the Amalekites. They get their wives back. They get their children back. They get the spoil back. By the way, this is really cool. We don't have time to go into this. But some of them can't make it. They're so tired. They can't make it. And David says, listen, I'll tell you what your job is. You guys stay by the stuff here. You guys stay by the stuff. We'll continue to go. They go. They overcome the Amalekites. They get their wives and children back. And they come back and they all share the spoil. Listen to me. You just get up, and some of you can't, man, I can't go much more. I know, it's okay. But you still get your foot back in God's path and you go forward. Now, I'm telling you right now, young person, as long as you live your life, I could care less that you ever, I remember Jim Shatler gave, I could care less. But I am telling you this, you have got to learn how to handle disappointment in your life because it isn't whether you're going to get disappointed. Some of you girls are going to be dropped like a china jar by some guy someday. And you're going to, some of you guys are going to be disappointed with something that you didn't get the job you wanted, you didn't get this, and you're going to, I don't want to live anymore. You can't do that. You got to get your focus back on God. You got to put your faith back in God's word. And everyone together, you got to put your what? Back on God's path, and you get back up again, and you get going again. And young people, that's how you live your life while you're here on this earth. While you're here on this earth, you put your focus back in God, you put your faith back in God's word, and you put your foot back on God's path, and you get up, and you get going again. And young person, I'm telling you, if you make a commitment to these three statements, and you say, God, that is the filter. It doesn't stop having disappointments, but it shows you how to handle them. I sat on that counter, and I looked at those pill bottles, and I said, oh, God, how can there be that many kids at a Baptist camp on Zoloft and Prozac? God, what's happened? They don't believe in God anymore. They've gone to Medicaid. Well, some of us have clinical depression. Okay. You might have had a trauma to your head that you do not. You have problems now in your mind. But I'm telling you, the chances are that any of you in this room have clinical depression is almost zilch. You don't need a pill. You need a person. Now listen to me. If you're taking medication right now and you're on medication, you did not hear from this preacher, stop it right now. But I am going to tell you this. In the long term, that is not the answer to your problem. If you are on medication and you need to take that medication, I'm not telling you to stop it today, but I am telling you this. You will be hooked on that medication the rest of your life until you learn how to focus on God, put your faith back in God's word, and get your foot back on God's path. And you get up and you get going again. And young people, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If you practice this, it will be amazing what will happen in your life. You don't need medication like you need the Messiah. You need Jesus, man. And I tell you, I'm not stopping. And you take the disappointments of life and you get back up and you get going. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. This is a pretty simple invitation. Is there some teens today, and adults, I don't care. Are there some teens today that would say, dear God, by your grace and for your glory, I do not want to be a hearer of this word only. I want to be a doer of your word. So God, I stand to my feet right now and I make a commitment to you. Okay, I'm not going to call it a vow. Okay, I got to think we got to be really careful with that. But I am making a commitment to you that, dear God, I want to apply what I have just heard. Lord, the next time, and it'll probably happen by the end of the day, the next time I have an unfulfilled expectation, I get disappointed. I want to focus on who you are. I want to go to the Word. I want to get into the Word. I want to get a scripture. And I want to put my foot back on God's path. I'm going to get up and I'm going to keep going. And I'm not going to quit. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get going. I'm going to focus on you. And I'm going to put my faith back in your Word. And God, I have learned something, that what a waste of time this morning if I don't apply it. So by God's grace and for God's glory, okay, you might fail, you might falter, you might forget, but you can say, no, this is a way that I want to start living my life. They may have days where I didn't do what that message said that day. I haven't done that. I need to get back to that. But I am making a commitment in my life. I'm only 14. I'm a 16-year-old guy, but I am committing that this is the way I'm going to handle the disappointments of my life. Now, I may fail here or there, okay? But I'm telling you, this, I am making a commitment that I'm going to start focusing on who my God is. I'm going to put my faith back in God's Word. That means I got to get in the Bible, and I'm going to put my foot back in God's path. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to keep going again. And right now, I'm not having a major disappointment in my life right now. But this is going to be the filter. I'm going to maybe write it in the back of your Bible, whatever. But the next time I get disappointed, this is the way I'm going to go. And I'm making a commitment to that. If you can say that honestly, do not stand because the person next to you stood. But if you can say, no, God, I want you to know I am making a commitment to that. Would you stand to your feet right now? I want to live this way. This is the way that I want to start living with disappointments in my life. Now listen to me. You ought to tell someone, will you keep me accountable? And you see that I get disappointed with something, will you keep me accountable for that? And you know what? If you're standing right now, I figure the person next to you means something to you. Would you? I'm serious. Right now, would you look at the person next to you and say, hey, will you keep me accountable for the decision I just made? Go ahead. Just tell a person next to you right now. Just tell them that. Will you do that? Will you do that? Will you keep me accountable for what I just heard? Father, I thank you for the tenderness. And you know, Lord, I do not think they're being phony by standing. But Lord, they're going to be tested by their stand right now. But Lord, by the end of the day, they will probably be disappointed about something. So Lord, I pray they'll start practicing this right away. And Lord, it wasn't just a cute gesture. They did ask me to keep them accountable. So Lord, help me keep them accountable too. I want to help them. I care for the person I'm standing next to right now. They asked me. I know they kind of were told to do it, but I think that they do want that. And so Lord, I pray that they'll keep each other accountable as well. And may the leaders that are in this room keep the teens accountable on the decision that they've just made. We pray these things in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Have a seat. Here we go. Really quick, really loud. I don't want to have to say do it again. Number one, step number one is what?
Focus on God.
Step number two is what?
Put your faith in God.
Number two, what is number two?
Put your faith in God's Word.
And number three?
Put your foot in God's path.
Guys, I'm telling you, that's how you handle disappointments in your life. Thank you.